Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblight-focused War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Ron Lohr, a.k.a. Tyrone, and the first rule of Blight Club is you don't talk about Blight Club. Wolf is back this week. I guess he found his laptop. How are you today, Wolf?
I'm good. I'm here with a bunch of cats and doing other things. Basically my daily life.
Right on. Cats are great. Joining us this week is special guest Swamp Mist. How are you doing today, buddy?
Not bad. Although, I don't know that I'm still a special guest.
You'll always be special to me.
So, yeah, I'm doing good. Trying to put a bit of Animag together while we're doing this stuff.
Right on. Animag's a pretty sweet model. Goes together real nice, actually.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's like there's like literally three contact points.
Yeah.
They all seem really simple.
Oh, yeah. They really are. You liking that model?
Dude, thank you so much. I'm really excited to play her.
All right, so this week on the show, we're going to be going over more recent games. It's pretty much the theme this week is both Swamis and Wolf attended a team tournament in Ithaca at Kazon Cards and Games, run by fellow Discord denizen Favent, who also happened to be on Swamis' team. Swamis, do you want to go over your team composition and your games for the evening?
Serious, sir. So, we were Team Two Turtles and a Dragon.
Due to
the fact that we played Scorn Legion.
How many turtles did you have?
I think there were only two turtles because Fabint left all of his turtles at home.
Fair enough.
So Schwanky brought Rasheth Winds. He did not play Rasheth at all. He played three rounds of his other list. So his other list, which is the list that actually matters, is Xerxes 1 in, what is the theme name?
The Exalted
with an Agonizer, a Kreia, Tiberian, three Ancestral Guardians, Elish Garrity, Hakkar the Destroyer, and three max units of mortals, all with UA.
That is certainly a list.
It's a lot of dudes. They're all Pathfinder. They're all Weapon Masters under his feet. He has Defender's Ward. He can make a unit POW 15 Weapon Masters on feet, which is actually nuts. And then also under feet, he can make a unit 15-23 against melee, which is actually redonkulous.
Yeah, that sounds tough to get through.
So he played it all three rounds, won all his games. It did really well. Jacob, I think he only played Morgul 1. So he had Morgul 1 with an Agonizer, three Eridus Soldiers, a Kreia, a Reptile Hound, and a Rhinodon, a Willbreaker, Tyrant Sadesh, so the Lesser, with a Cyclops Shaman and a Titan Gladiator, and two Min Beast Handlers. Fabint, Jacob lost two games with Morgul 1 and won the bye due to one of the teams not having someone show up.
Seems good.
And then my list, so I had Abby 1, which was this Abby 1 list is courtesy of Wolf. Angelius, Carnivian Naga, Proteus Seraph, two Shepherds, a Sorcerer Sean Hellion, a Spell Martyr, two Forsakens, Ice Witches, and a Swamp Paw Gobber Bellow crew.
I like that list.
Literally amazing to have somebody else be like, hey, I want to use your list. And it's just like, wait, what? I'm not an idiot?
Having played Swamp Gobber's Bellows crew, oh my god, being able to put a 5-inch cloud in front of Abby 1 or like in front of like an Angelius and Proteus behind building or whatever is so good.
Yep, it's literally just, oh, I'm going to block line of sight, and if you move up, I'm going to charge you and kill you.
Yeah,
come at me, bro.
It's really good.
Sounds amazing.
I'm very hyped. I'm very on Swamp Gobbers. And then Animag, Blightbringer, and Amok, a Gremlin Swarm, a Spell Martyr, Rotwings, two units of War Spears with UA, a Chosen, and a single Hellmouth.
That seems about right for Animag there.
Having played it, I actually disagree. I really don't like the War Spears right now. I really need Warmongers.
Yeah, I could see how you could get there. You have some points, and they do very similar things. So you want to talk about the games that you played personally then? Wolf, let's talk about your team.
We are the Large Farvas.
Large Farvas, nice. All right, what did you bring to the tournament?
All right, I brought Kallus 2 and Animag. Kallus 2 was double Carnivian, Golab, Amok, two Spell Martyrs, a War Chief, a max unit of Warmongers with Gorag, full unit of Chosen, and two free Hellmouths. And then Animag was Blightbringer, Harrier, Amok, Feralgeist, three Spell Martyrs, a War Chief, max unit of Warmongers with Gorag for free, max War Spears with the Chief, full unit of Chosen, and double free Hellmouth.
You brought two Primal Terrors lists.
I did. Mm. I wasn't really planning on running the Kallus 2 list all day. The original plan was to bring Kallus 1, but my car had 4 people in it total, and it is not a large car. So carrying dude spam became really hard to do without an extra bag, and I did not have room for it.
Right.
So I figured I could diversify a little bit and get a couple extra tech pieces in there to see how it does. But unless somebody gave me a really good reason to not drop Animag, I was just dropping Animag all day.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my team was my buddy Patrick, who I've brought up before. He was running Denny 2 in Black Industries, paired with Goreshade 2 in Dark Host. His lists are like the typical, I don't want to say typical Crix pairing, but like the idea of, okay, if you have an answer to heavy spam, it's probably also heavy spam and you're going to get Banes to the face.
Right.
If you don't, then Denny 2 offers a stupid assassination threat. And if you don't have the tools to deal with her, she just gets to run table and there's nothing you're going to do about it.
Yeah,
Denny 2 also has the advantage over Gatsby 3 in being way better against Weapon Master spam.
Turns out when you can go, hey, all of my stuff is just Incorp this turn. Hope your Weapon Masters don't mind that I just, you know, did 2 or 3 Hellmouths, killed a bunch of them, then mm-hmm. sent in Jax and made them all Incorp so you can't hit me back. Like,
but even if they can hit back, like you have Cephalix Overlord sprays, you have Nightmare, you have Deathjack and Denegra casting sprays mm-hmm. and Hellmouths. Like, you can clear so many more dudes in this list.
Yeah, you can, which kind of forces people to drop that heavy spam, which Banes love to see.
Yep.
And then my other teammate was running Signar, my buddy Cody, another local in the area. He was running Striker 2 with, he was running that in Storm Division. And then he was pairing that with Haley 3 and Gravediggers.
I think that Gravediggers list is way, like, a lot better than normal Gravediggers lists against PT.
It is significantly better against PT, and I found that out on Sunday. but the problem was when Haley 3 was in her heyday, all the players around here were constantly badgering him to play Haley 3 into everything. So the normal plan of like, oh, it's a Haley 3 match, I can probably get him to just clock himself, doesn't work. He's actually very practiced with the list most of the time.
So Swamp Miss and Wolf's team got paired up first round. Because that's how that works.
It was going to happen. I called it.
Yeah.
All right, so you got paired against Haley 3, right, Swampy?
Yeah, so so the pairing system we used was, I think it's German-based.
It is the German style.
Yeah, so you roll off. Whoever wins the roll-off gets to choose which of the three tables. So there's 2 tables, right and left, and then a middle table. So when you win the roll-off, you get to choose which table you go to. And so you choose that table, you put a list face down as a blind.
Right.
And then you both teams swap and flip over those cards, see which players they are on those tables, and then match, right? And then they match, and then the middle table is whatever person from each team is left over. I got thrown kind of under the bus. I went for the original blind, and Wolf, your team decided to drop Signar.
Yeah, we put down Crix on the far table, thinking he had probably a 50-50 into everything, and then went, let's see what you guys put down.
I think Schwanky's list is probably favored into the Crix, because I think it can beat Denny, because it's high arm enough that I think it can probably beat Denny.
Yeah, maybe. He felt okay into it, and that's really all we needed.
Yeah. I think just putting T-Rex down is probably a good plan either way. But so you guys dropped Haley 3 into me, so I see it, and I actually think he's going to drop Striker, because I missed that there was a Trench Master Gunner in the Haley 3 list. So I thought he only had the 2 Trench Busters on. So I was like, I think he's going to try to drop Striker and just kill all the models in both my lists.
For the record, me and him have played that game a couple times. I think we're up to 2-3, right in that area. And he knows the Abbey 1 list. He knows how, like, that Haley can do it. And I kind of learned firsthand that she's not a great drop into that, because you will get gunned off the board relatively quickly without some pretty favorable terrain. And even then, he usually wins the attrition battle.
So I did drop Abbey 1 because I felt like I didn't super know that. Like, I was just going based off those lists. I thought he was going to drop Striker, and I felt that I didn't want to play Animag into Striker 2. I think, again, it really needs Warmongers to be good. And also, I wanted Wraithbane access, just generically. So I drop Abbey 1 to Haley 3 and proceed to hyper-focus so hard on attrition, I forget to put models on either of my friendly scoring elements that spread the net, and let my opponent go up 2-0 bottom of 2.
Yeah, that's never a great thing on spread the net.
No.
You don't want to give, especially don't want to give Haley 2 points for nothing. Like, yeah, that's bad.
So I had a Carnivian that could have charged. It, like, charged to spray because it had gotten... It couldn't do anything else. It had gotten its soul, its spirit sniped out and gotten trench-bustered. So I just, like, charged. If I charged a slight angle, it gets in the zone and forces him to do other stuff and scores me a point. And then I literally had a... like, multiple solos that were doing nothing else that could have gone to my flag. Like, it was not like I just... I and could have scored both those scenarios. But what I did do was an Angelius charged baby Haley, killed her, overtook onto a random dude, missed him in the back, so had to reroll it with Ice Witches, got the hit, killed it, turned again to Finn. I buy an attack because I didn't armor pierce Haley. Because the numbers were just fine, right? She's only armed 14. So I have 4 Fury. So I boosted hit on Haley. That's right. So I had 3 Fury left. So I boost hit, I hit, and I proceed to forget that Finn has 8 boxes. And so I don't boost damage. And I leave Finn on, I believe, 1 box. And so I buy another attack and I miss. And then I refuge away. And then Proteus, with Playing God, charges over a house into Grandma Haley, eats her, and then eats, like, one more dude and ties up his, Actually, no, I think Grandma Haley was the Angelius. Either way, he ties up the Ironclad in combat. So my opponent decides to win the game by scoring my zone and scoring both of his, because we're not contesting. What he forgot, or what he did, so he does this whole series of things... because he needed to knock Proteus down so that I couldn't free strike his Ironclad back to stop it from running into the zone to score. So Haley goes, walks up, pops feet, pops TD, repudiates off Playing God through Thorn. He forgets to move Thorn there, so he repudiates again. Because Thorn's bond, I guess, or something about Thorn lets him move after he's arced through. He repudiates off Spiny Growth from my other Carnivian. And moves it up, moves the Thorn up. And then Thorn just slams Proteus in the back and knocks him down. What my opponent did wrong is, so then he runs the Ironclad, we're done. As we're talking through what I could have done better, and like how the game would have gone if I had placed my models better, we notice, I'm like, wait a minute, did you ever score your friendly zone? And he's like, oh, dang it, I moved Thorn out and forgot to put something back in. And I'm like, I would give it to you, but that's literally the mistake I made that let you win the game. So I don't know what we want to do here. So we talked about it. We went through the motions of showing that my Carnivian, which was in a total, like, wasn't dying that turn, could just trample over, like, the 2 Risen that were in front of him. And with aggression, just dirt nap Haley on one attack.
Oh, yeah.
Haley was camping, like, 1. Like, it wasn't good. So we ship Captain Crewed for it, and my opponent got his ship Captain Crew. I don't know how he built his ship while like 3 rolls in while still explaining the rules. Like, he just high rolled his ship make. I rolled a bunch of 6s and couldn't roll a 5. So he wins, and that's how that round went.
Sounds like my round 2. I don't know.
Yeah, and then so I was actually, he was getting closer to clocking because I got to kill both Haleys.
Yeah.
I think that's actually just a big deal. I think if I wasn't able to kill, if I had not given him that scenario thing, and I could have also stopped him from scoring one of his, I think. I think the Angelius could have, when it refuged, could have actually gone and towed that zone.
Sure.
Instead of running way away.
Yeah.
And then it's actually 2-1 and I'm up on scenario. And in that eventuality, I think he can kill most of my list, but I think he runs really low on clock doing it. So I think it was possible I win this game, surprisingly. I didn't think it was.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. How about the rest of your teammates? How'd they do that round?
So, as we'll hear from Wolf, he's just animagged out of the mint.
Yep, that happened.
And Schwanky played Xerxes 1 into, I don't know, which list did...
He dropped Gorshade 2.
Yeah, so Xerxes 1 to Gorshade 2, and I feel like Xerxes 1 is favored there, honestly.
Do you know how that game ended, Wolf?
My teammate forgot to put his Bane Riders in the zone. He left them like a half an inch out. So Schwanky scored two, bottom of two. They tried to grind it out. I think it ended up winning. I think it ended up with Schwanky winning 6-1 on scenario.
Okay.
Because it turns out when you just hand a list with that many dudes 2 points, it can kind of roll over you.
I actually think
Schwanky was probably advantaged even without that.
Maybe, but that certainly doesn't help.
Let's move on to round two.
So I played in two, and I don't remember which team it was.
You played into Crime.
Yeah. So his list isn't up.
Right.
It was Harbinger, four Crusaders, Min Choir, two units of Flamebringers, Min TFG, Nicaea, Pyrus, and a unit of Daughters. The game was super grindy. So so the one big thing was that Flamebringers with four dice to hit on the charge are very good at getting crit previous ones. That's a huge deal in Chosen, especially because Animat or Harby can just purify off Gristle and Bone. So I dropped Animag because his other list was, I think, something that I felt better with Animag into, and I wanted to have that more consistent source of Grievous Wounds. If I was playing a Scythian, I think I'd drop a Scythian or a Throne. I think I would consider dropping Abby Winans. But I was playing Double Carnivian, and I do not feel super confident about Double Carnivian. But so it's... So he goes first. He runs everything up. He puts two Flamebringers in range of three Flamebringers in range of Tentacles. And I miss place a bit around Awe. If I had played a little bit better with Awe and correctly measuring what was going to be in Animag's threat range for Carnage, I'd probably get two horses there. I sadly only get one. And then the Hellmouth misses it. So I have to commit a War Spear to it. And then, so then my opponent does his whole feat turn. He feats and moves Harby super far up. Oh, he had Battle and Corbeau. Big deal. I never got to threaten Harby, which meant she could be super high up, far up the table. So his list comes in. He kills two Chosen because he fails to crit on one. He just consistently fails to crit the unit leader. But he gets two Chosen. He leaves one that he crit alive. And then I proceed to just try to swing back attrition a bit. I kill a bunch of horses. And we just keep playing that game out. It's really hard for me because I'm not playing Warmongers. I don't have Berserk, so I'm not getting a lot of attacks. And my Vengeance attacks are less high quality. And a little bit more importantly, honestly, is I don't have Gorag. And so I'm an honest mat 6-7 because Awe counters Carnage. I needed the arm buff to not die to Crusaders. And honestly, it was really, that made it really bad. So we were super grindy. We're really low on clock. And then my opponent, because one of his teammates never showed up. And so we got a free one. And the table next to us, where his buddy was playing minions, Schwanky just literally walked. He walked incorporeal, I think, feated on dudes into melee with, I don't know which caster. I can actually, he submitted his list so I can check. I think it was Carver. I think he got two or three immortals onto Carver and just killed him.
Oh, jeez.
Because he just walked through a house with incorporeal. One of the two was behind a house. And so Schwanky used the fact that you don't have line of sight when inside of a house to not take free strikes walking through the house. Combined with the fact that he has a 10-inch walk threat without vengeance on immortals, because Xerxes has the plus bonus movement when walking battle plan.
Okay.
So he just walked his immortals through a house and killed Carver.
Cool. So that's a 3-0 sweep then, or
because that happened, my Manoth opponent apparently just decided to, instead of winning the game, waste a minute and 15 seconds on his clock sending Crusaders into a Blightbringer when he was one up on scenario. And that Blightbringer was not holding his own.
Okay.
By itself.
Great.
So he then is like, okay, I'll keep making attacks. And I was like, you ran out of clock.
All right, then.
Yeah, and I had 2 minutes left, so I didn't have a ton of clock, but him killing the Blightbringer because I wasn't getting really any more turns was not good.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of just let me win. Cool. And then in the same vein, round three, I play against a Grimkin player who had really weird lists that you guys, that we were talking about before the cast. He has Dreamer in Bump and Old Witch 3 in Dark Menagerie with zero Gremlin Swarms, despite the fact that his list has two and no Carrion Arose. So he drops Old Witch 3, I drop Animag, because I'm like, oh, it's Animag into Grimkin.
Yeah.
This should be easy. And he proceeds to... He goes second because there's a house, like, right next to deployment on one side, and he feels he needs to choose the side that isn't that because he has Death Knell plus Old Witch 3, right. And it's kind of hard to maneuver them well in a scenario where there's a house in part of your deployment.
Yeah.
So I do that. I put the birds behind the house because I can just go over it. So they go, and it was on Standoff.
Yeah.
So everything runs up. His turn, everything runs up. He activates a bit weird. He forgets to cast any spells off of Old Witch 3. And I'm like, hey, I'll just let you cast Windstorm if you want. It's going to stop some of your Dreadrots from taking gunshots. And he was like, no. So at this point, I'm like, okay, he doesn't want takebacks. Fair enough. So he turn two. So I run everything up. Turn two, his Skin and Moans frenzies and does like 3 points to a Cage Rager. And he just walks stuff up. He remembers to cast spells this time, but he stays out of my threats. And my threats are just to the edge of every zone.
Mm.
And so he passes clock. And I'm like, well, you never put anything in the zones. So this tentacle is going to go here and get. because he went, no, he gave me first, right? So yeah. I ran everything up. He went to my threats. I moved slightly up further.
Right. But into zones, obviously.
To the edge of his threats and the edge and threading the edge of the zones. And then he just didn't move close. He didn't move into the zone.
Jeez.
And so I score three because it's standoff. And then I score three on his turn. And I contest. And so it's 3-1 and I contest his. And so it's 6-1 and I win.
Good stuff.
And I feel kind of bad because, like, I feel like, oh, maybe I should have told him that that was going to happen. But by the same token, it did feel like he didn't want takebacks.
Yeah, I get you.
So I don't know, like, I offered him takebacks. He didn't take them. So I feel like offering them again for the scenario would have been rude, but also winning the game like that feels bad. I don't know. Yeah, that was really weird.
That's just the way a warshing goes sometimes.
Yeah.
So we're going to let you go, right, Swampy? You know, you take off?
Yeah, I have to go get dinner.
All right, man. Well, thank you.
Me, guys. I might be back later, and if I am, I'll just talk. I'll see what Wolf thought. The one thing I will say is I need to get better at blocking charge lanes with stuff. I could have, in the Harby game, protected, like, one or two more Chosen by putting the Gremlin Swarm up further. The Gremlin Swarm, like, one or two birds just getting in the way of where the Flamebringers wanted to be for their charges. So that's something that I need to kind of pay attention to more, is screening the Chosen when there are actually things that can kill them.
Makes sense.
Well, also, I need Warmongers, like, really bad.
Yeah, they're real good.
All right, Swampy, we're going to let you go. Take care.
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Bye, friend.
All right, Wolf. So, that was quite an event for Swamp Miss. How did it go for yourself?
It was an interesting weekend. We did the team event Saturday, and then there was a singles event Sunday.
Right.
So round one of the team event was versus Swampy's team. I went into Favent, or Jacob, whatever you want to call him.
Sure.
He dropped Morgul 1. I dropped Animag on Spread the Net. He hasn't played into Primal Terrors yet because the Legion player they have near them doesn't really like Ogryn. Like, he just doesn't like the look of them. He doesn't like the play style. So he hasn't really, like... He's decided he doesn't want to play that.
Okay.
So, like, he didn't have a lot of practice into it. I'm on a group chat with him, so we talk about it, you know, a bit. So he knew, like, the damage swing. He knew all of that fun stuff. We ended up grinding it down to turn 5 or 6. I was up on scenario, I think it was 5-2.
Okay.
Right around that area. And it got to a point where... I had a couple Chosen left on one flank with a Blightbringer. I had almost the entire unit of War Spears on the other flank, and he didn't have a whole lot there left to threaten. There was one Argus Sentinel, the smacky bugs.
Yeah.
Was in with all the war spears, and there was two chosen left alive next to a Cyclops Mystic. Whatever the one with Ghost Shot is, I can't think of what the heck it's called.
Shaman.
Yeah, there we go. And he would have been fine, except he was running low on clock at that point and forgot to heal his gladiator, moved two activations on, and then went, oh man, I forgot to heal this. Like, do you care if I do it? And I'm like, honestly, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I kind of do.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I'm sorry, man. And he's just like, no, it's fine. And he tried to get through his turn. He's just like, well, I end turn, you know, you score a point. He goes, you start your turn, end it, and you just win. I'm like, yeah, but like, I'm like, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to try and kill some stuff. Like, you know, the War Spears had prey on this bug all game. I think they deserve to try and kill it. Like, let them get their whole thing.
Yeah.
So I ended up winning that one on scenario.
Cool.
The Crix player on my team lost to Schwanky, and then the Signar player beat Swampy. So that was it was fine. Like, yeah. We went 2-1 for the round.
Yeah, right on.
And then round two was on Barbell, was the scenario.
Yeah.
I can't think what it's actually called.
That's what it's called anyway.
Yeah, close enough. we went into, it was the blank team. They were running Grimkin, Crix, and Minions.
Okay.
So I got put into Grimkin. It was the same guy that Swampy played round three. I dropped Animag again because neither one of his lists scared me, like, at all.
Yeah.
And he put down Dreamer with all the dudes.
Okay.
He picked Pandemonium for the Arcana and Shadow, which I thought was a little weird. Like, Pandemonium was probably good in that matchup because if you can shut down an order, like,
yeah,
being able to shut down Chosen or Warmongers charging in, like, that's pretty good. But his list was just kind of weird. When I talked to him about it after, his thought process was that, well, with all the small base models, it'll be really easy to trigger Shadow. It'll be really easy to trigger the Trump Arcana, but neither one really made a difference. So that was kind of a weird game. You know, we played it out, and I ended up getting ahead on attrition pretty heavily. I almost got to pull two Skin and Moans into Hellmouth range and then drag them in for Chosen to kill, like, top of two, which would have been funny.
Yeah, that would be great.
I didn't get to live that dream, unfortunately. We ended up getting it down to, again, I think it was, like, turn five.
Okay.
He had, like, 2 minutes left on his clock. I had 20-something.
Oh, jeez.
Because he was just, yeah, he was very unpracticed with the list. To be fair, it is a fairly newer faction for him. Like, it's not, he usually mains Rhett.
Right.
So that didn't help. And there was, like, 2 minutes left on his clock, and he just went, well, I'm not going to let you score more CPs. I'm not going to let you farm me for points. Like, I'm just going to let the clock run out. You win. I can't get at you. And I'm like, all right, that's fine, I guess. Like, yeah. He tried.
So he just conceded, pretty much.
So, yeah, he conceded without conceding, just to be like, I don't want this to go on, and I don't want you to just farm me for points. So, you're clearly going to win this. I'm just going to let the clock run out.
Yep, fair enough.
He didn't have an assassination. The only thing he could have probably done, shots onto Animag, and she was camping two zones. But even then, she was like a 14-18 with two Fury on her. So, like, the only thing I think he could have gotten on her was, like, a random spell or, like, a random Abyssal Gate, and then maybe Longfellow could have got shots.
Right.
And that probably doesn't kill her by itself.
No, probably not.
So, yeah, we ended up sweeping that round. Cool. If I remember correctly, my Crix teammate got the Mirror. No, he didn't. Draker 2 went into Crix and just top-a-2'd the boat.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he got pretty good dice, and he got first turn, walked forward, and said, all right, either you're not going to leave your deployment zone or you're going to be in Stryker's threat range. He decided to be in Stryker's threat range, and Stryker just murdered a boat.
Seems good.
Yeah, that was pretty that was pretty funny when he walks over, and I'm like, did you lose already? He goes, oh, no, I won. I top a 2 Scar 3. I'm like, oh, all right.
Fair. That's
a thing that happens, I guess.
Yeah.
And then my Crix player went into Rask.
Okay.
What the other guy was running.
Yep.
I don't know how he won that. I just know he won.
That's, well, fair enough. It's Rask of Triple Fosse seems pretty tough to deal with, but I'm glad your teammate was able to get through.
It was a good round.
Right on.
And then round three, we went into Nemo 3, did nothing wrong. These are the guys that ended up winning it.
Okay.
This was Grimkin, Rhett, and Crix. We put my Crix teammate down first. The matches ended up being me versus Rhett, Signar versus Krix, and then Grimkin versus Krix.
Okay.
All three games were just stupidly close. And these guys were from Philly, so it was a pretty decent drive up for them.
Yeah.
So if Larry, Pat, and Rob are listening to this, like, thank you guys for coming up. Thank you for the great games. You know, it was amazing. It ended up being Denny 2 versus Heretic, I think is what that game was. I ended up playing into Kalissa with Animag, and then it was Nine Slayers versus Striker 2. So my game, we looked at it and both kind of went, well, he's like, I've got, you know, double Sentinels, a bunch of, you know, Vengeance and Weapon Masters. I won the roll off, went first, you know, ran up the table. It was on two circles, two squares with the objectives in them. So I ran everything forward. He runs everything forward, gives me a couple Sentinels to charge. I don't charge them because I understand how Sentinels work, and that is not happening today.
No.
So I run Hellmouth Tentacles just to get in their way and say, hey, you're going to have to get in here, kind of position around the middle of the table. I think he had feeded that turn, so I couldn't charge him anyway.
Right.
But he gave me enough in like walking range to try and trigger some vengeance. Next turn, he comes up with a bunch of Sentinels on the right flank, kills off, I think, three Warmongers, and then gets another one toughs, and I think he gets one on a Warspear who toughs. So like he didn't kill anywhere near what he needed to on that flank.
Right.
And then three or four Sentinels on the left-hand flank managed to get in on Chosen. Funnily enough, it took him until, I think, bottom of four to kill a single Chosen this game.
Oh my god.
There was a unit of Sentinels on them all game, and either he flubbed damage rolls, which that's not his fault, dice happen.
Yeah.
Or he would be like, oh, I kill this one, I'd roll the tough, and he'd heal back three.
Oh
and
no.
Just couldn't get another attack into him.
Oh my god.
So then he'd look at the board and be like, oh, I can shoot him. I'm like, Feign Death. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing that exists.
I'm yeah,
like,
that's yep, a problem.
You don't get to shoot them.
Oh, my God.
So, like, Chosen just held up an entire unit of Sentinels for the, like, literally the entire game.
Yeah.
We ended up, again, grinding it down to bottom of five, I think it was.
Jeez, these are long games.
Yeah. All I had left at that point was three Chosen, the Blightbringer, Hellmouth. I think I had a Muck and Animag.
Yeah.
He had the heavy with Wailing on it, one of the Arknode heavies. I think it was an Arknode heavy. Oh, whatever. He had two heavies left.
Yeah.
Like two Arcanists, a single Soulless Escort from the unit of Sentinels on the right hand side, and his caster.
Yeah.
I move my Blightbringer out of my zone to go kill his last heavy and go, okay, well, this Hellmouth can kill this Arcanist that's contesting my zone. I'm fine. Everything is fine. We're good.
Right.
I forget to repo with my Chosen, so ooh. I don't contest his zone.
Oh no.
The Hellmouth with two tentacles doesn't even hit the Arcanist.
Ugh.
On the left-hand flank. Animag throws a Hex Blast at the Soulless Escort on the right through a Spell Martyr. That was the only thing in that zone. Misses to hit by one. Ugh. Deviates off of him, but it still hits him. I look at it and go, okay, I just need to roll a five to kill. I only have one fury left. So I'm like, well, I don't want to boost this because I think he can get a heavy over here. And I want that to like at least make it difficult.
Yeah.
And don't boost it. And I roll the four.
Oh no.
So instead of me going, okay, I'm going to score, you know, two this turn and deny you.
Yeah.
I let him score two get any. So it was, I think it ended up being 9-8 him. So he stared at the board for a couple minutes and went, oh, I just need to score 4 points to win, right? I go, yeah. He's like, okay, to be sure, I just need to score 4 points. I'm like, yes, you just need to score 4 points. Like, he asks me this like five times and finally he goes, okay, I score one for my zone because of caster. I'm like, yep. Yeah. Yes. I score one for the Soulless Escort in this zone.
Like, yeah. Yep.
My Blightbringer went up to kill that other heavy, so it left my zone with only my caster and my objective in it.
Right.
So he sent a heavy in, killed my objective, and went, okay, well, casters don't contest. I go, I know. He goes, okay, so I score my zone, I score this zone, I killed your objective for one, and I score this zone. I'm like, yep. He goes, good game. I'm like, yep, it was.
That's,
God damn it.
I mean, that sucks, but like, you know, it's good on him to see that. That's all he needed to do.
Like I said, the worst part is, like, had I remembered to repo Chosen, he only at max can score three that turn. Had I moved my Blightbringer a quarter of an inch back, because it didn't need to move out of the zone to reach that heavy.
Oh.
It contested my zone, so we could at max score two.
Oh no.
And had I not rolled under a five, like four rolls in a row, which that happens, that's dice.
Yep.
Like, I deny him another point and score one of my own.
That's rough.
But, like, I was just like, oh my God. And we talked about it after and both kind of said, yeah, okay. Dice played a little bit of a part on both of our parts. Like, it definitely had an effect. He was kind of lamenting how good Chosen were at just soaking up Sentinels for an entire game.
Yeah, that's there, good.
I kind of lucked out. There was a forest, like, in the middle of the left-hand zone.
Right.
So he could only ever get, like, three in. So I just kind of stayed behind that and went, okay, you can get three Sentinels in if they can get line of sight. Otherwise, they got to go through this forest. And every time he'd, like, get something in far enough in the forest, a Chosen would just walk up, smack it, and then repo three out so he couldn't ever actually get significant charges in on him.
Right.
So that was super helpful.
Cool.
We ended up getting swept that round. Every game, like I said, was really close. Striker 2 ended up being, I think, Striker, a Storm Knight, and a Storm Lance versus Gaspy and, like, one Slayer.
Oh, wow.
Striker flub damage for the overboost. It basically came down to, if Striker can kill the Slayer, he scores, like, three that turn and just wins the game on scenario.
Yeah.
And Striker couldn't kill that one Slayer with six focus.
Oh, like, wow.
His dice kind of flubbed out on him, and he couldn't do it, which left Striker with, like, three health standing in front of a Slayer saying, well, you're just going to kill me now.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then the same thing kind of happened with my Crix player, Pat, into Grimkin. He had some weird dice with Overlords where I guess he said for, like, a bunch of sprays in a row, he didn't roll above a four or five to just clear out a bunch of Dreadrots.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they were both making cute plays back and forth at each other, like, oh, I don't think I can get to this unless I do this kind of janky thing. And it ended up working.
Oh, okay.
So their game was kind of, according to him, I didn't get to see it, but from what he told me, it was weird and close. But, like, dice definitely played a factor.
Yeah.
Which, it's a dice game, so, like, that is going to happen. I don't want to, like, sound like I'm taking away anything from our opponents here, because they, from my game alone, if the and I played against the Crix player, Rob, I think his name is, back at Millennium last week.
Okay.
He was the one that was running Gorshade, or not Gorshade, Gaspy 1, Satixis that I played into round 2, and just, like, he knows his lists. He's a very good player. The Rhett player, Pat, was very good with his army. Like, he knew what he was doing. And if Larry was anywhere, like, near that kind of level, then these were not easy games for anybody. So these guys, you know, they ended up winning. They got first place because of it. I take nothing away from them. They were all great guys, and I'm glad they came up. That's like a 5-hour drive for them. So,
oh, geez. Yeah, that's quite a drive then.
So that was Saturday. They ended up getting up first, or getting first.
Yeah.
Swampy's team got second just because they had one more win than we did.
Right.
And we ended up getting third.
Hey, not bad. I mean,
yeah, third out of six teams. Like, we were in the upper half.
Yeah, but, like, that's good, though. You know, like, we got two Legion players in the top three. And
yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good games, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah. Before we get back into more battle reports there, I know you were talking to me earlier about how somebody actually recognized you from the show.
Yeah, that was Rob. He was talking after, and he goes, oh, hey, just question for you. I'm like, yeah, sure, what's up? He goes, you're one of the guys on Blightbringers, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm like, that's me. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just getting back into it, and I used to listen to podcasts a lot, and I just started listening to him again. I only have an hour a day, but I heard a lot of good things about it, and it's cool to know that I know somebody that's on it. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, this isn't weird at all. Like, he made a comment like, oh, I recognized your voice, and I know I played you before, but I couldn't remember, like, where I recognized the voice from until it clicked in. And I'm just like, yeah, this definitely is, like, not at all creepy. Like, this is amazing.
It's super weird, right?
It felt weird at first, and then I was like, this is kind of awesome. So I hope I'm not misrepresenting you too much here, Rob, but it felt kind of, it was that weird moment of like, oh, yeah, we've met before, and, like, I don't know, it's just weird to have some people like, yeah, I recognize your voice, and I couldn't figure out from where. Like, oh, okay, is this a thing that's going to happen now? Like, I'm just going to show up to, like, cons and stuff, and somebody's going to walk up and be like, I recognize you!
Yeah, you're one of those guys on that podcast.
Yeah, and then it took me back to, like, when I was at the Sioux this year, and I met Will Richardson for the first time.
Yeah.
At, like, 2 a.m. after having played and been drinking all day. And I'd never met him before, so I'm walking through the convention hall, And I just hear the voice and I turn around. I'm like, oh, I know that voice. And he's just like, oh, yeah, hi, I'm Will. I'm like, I know who you are.
That's amazing.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, wow, that probably sounded super creepy. Like, cool.
So, Will, if
you're listening to this, I'm sorry I scared the shit out of you. Please
release me. I did that to one of the fully boosted guys, actually, as well. Like, it's just weird. Or no, I did it to one of the combo spike guys, too. I was like, I know your voice. Where do I know it from?
It's so weird because it always takes you a minute to be like, I recognize this voice somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it like clicks in your head and you're like, I've never seen your face before, but I totally know you. What's up, man?
I know. It's a weird like dissonance. Anyway, that was a fun little distraction. Yeah,
it was super weird, but I'm so glad that people are listening.
Cool. Yeah.
Actually showing up to events that I happen to be at too.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Anybody else is in events in like lower Ontario, Western New York-ish area, like, and you hear me babbling, feel free to come over and say hello.
Yeah, totally. Like, we love to hear from people. I haven't gotten that experience quite yet, but hopefully, you know, if someone comes up to me and says they listen to the show and they love it, I will probably have a smile on my face for the rest of the day.
There you go.
So back to it. There was a second event, a solo event the next day. How'd that go for you?
It was a World Ender qualifier, same store. We kind of expected people to show up, so we stayed the night. Turns out the four people in my car, and then there were two other people that showed up, so it was only a 6-man event.
Oh my God.
It was a little sad, like, but I guess it's hard for people to do like two events in a row.
Yeah, there's like obligations. 2 days in a
row. That's an entire weekend for some people, and I can't blame anybody for not coming. I wish there would have been more people, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, round one for that, I was just like, well, it's only, you know, six people. I'm just going to run Animag all day and see what happens.
Okay.
So I got paired into kid by the name of Spencer, who was running Baldur 2 and Kaya 2.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It was Kaya 2 within Call of the Wild, so with a bunch of wolves, and then Baldur 2 with wolves.
Of course.
I'm like, okay, I'll put down Animag Abby 1 as my pair. I'm familiar with Abby, so if anything comes up that's weird, at least I know this list well enough to be able to play into it. But I'm, probably just dropping Animag all day. So he drops Baldur, I dropped Animag, and that game went about as well as you would expect for Baldur. It was not great for him. It was the two circle, two flags. I can't think of the names of scenarios.
Yeah, I know. The flag's like in the middle.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I out-threat him pretty significantly because it turns out wolves only threat about 9 inches in melee.
Yeah, they're pretty slow.
The shooting didn't really bother me when it was like, oh, it's a bunch of POW 12s, but most of my stuff is arm 18 around a Blightbringer.
Mm-hmm.
Or 21 in the case of Chosen. Although this was funny because I didn't realize he had a Wold Weird in his list. Like, I just didn't see it.
Oh.
Until, like, after I'd moved Chosen up. And then he goes, okay, Wold Weird is going to activate. It's going to walk up. It's going to shoot into your Chosen. I'm like, this is fine. Their arm. Oh, Purgation.
Yep.
Yeah, this is bad.
It's like, real bad.
He only put it in range to shoot at one.
Oh.
So he shot one. Just one shot of Chosen. It tuffed, rolled the 3 to heal, and then was sitting there with feigned death. He's like, all right, I'm going to buy a shot into it. I go, don't bother. Like, you can't actually target that one.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, that's dumb. I'm like, yep, Chosen are good. Like, I almost felt bad for a minute, and then I was like, no, I don't.
Nope.
That's not a thing.
Wold Weirds are super good, and don't feel bad about taking advantage of them.
Not at all. And then he had two of the little lights, the stone lights. I can't think of what, Wold Watcher, maybe?
That sounds right. I think I was calling them that last time.
Yeah, something. They're all Wold something.
Yeah.
Like, they all have literally the same friggin' name. But he took first turn. He let me deploy it second, so I got the side I wanted. He set up his Wold Watchers, and I put up Hellmouths basically straight across from them.
Okay.
Or no, I had first. I got that reversed.
Hmm.
So, like, I set up Hellmouths, and then he set up Wold Watchers right across from them, because top of one, I looked at it, I'm like, okay, you might not want to put those there. And he's like, why? I'm like, because you're within charging threat range of a tentacle. Like, I will pull that in top of one and just kill it.
Right.
Like, or just rip it out of control range, and it's not going to be able to do anything until Baldur gets way up the field.
Yeah.
Because it turns out Hellmouths don't care about unboosted POW 12s. Like, you're not going to kill it.
Yeah.
And he didn't listen to me, and I got to pull in two World Watchers top of one.
Oh my god.
I almost felt bad, but I warned him, so...
Yep.
It is what it is on that one. We ended up grinding that one down. Scenario, I was up 2-0, 3-0, and then he started just throwing models to contest by bottom of four. Yeah, top of five for him. He sent Balder in and said, well, I'm just going to kill your Blightbringer because I don't have a whole lot left. Therefore, let's just kill that off. I'm like, well, I mean, that's up to you. So Balder one-rounded a Blightbringer. I cleared out everything I needed to and just won on scenario that turn.
Okay, fair enough.
So he got his moral victory for one-rounding a Blightbringer, which I can't be mad at him. Like, if you know you're going to lose, screw it. Go for it. Do it.
This seems to be a theme with your games.
Yeah, that seems about right. I'm not complaining, though. And then round two was... my Signar buddy Cody, we had talked about it before and we kind of figured that Haley 3 was a really bad matchup for Animag, but neither one of us had played it yet, so we kind of wanted to play it out and see what would happen. I didn't have a good answer for Haley anyway, so I figured like maybe try it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And it goes just as badly as you would expect it to.
Yeah, Cloud Wolves are real bad.
He wins a roll off to go first. I go second. He moves everything up and kind of just measures out where everything is going to be. I run Chosen at him across the field, straight across from his long gunners. They're armed, 21. There's a couple in rubble that are def 16, thinking that maybe I can get him to roll enough dice that he'll miss something. He doesn't. He repudiates off Bond of Gristle and Bone, and then kills three Chosen just like it's nothing.
Sucks.
Yeah, it was not bad, or not good. And then... basically takes three or four warmongers off the table on the other side. So I'm already way down. I can't do a whole lot about it. Couple Chosen go in on Thorn the following turn. I ended up getting a Hellmouth Tentacle on Thorn, pulled in just far enough into the cloud wall that I could get line of sight. I leave him, I think, on six or seven boxes, not a whole lot. He was on life support. I get War Spears up the field and actually clear the right-hand zone. So I end up scoring two, bottom of two.
Okay.
Like, oh man, I actually have a scenario lead against Haley. What is this?
Yeah.
Doesn't last long as he proceeds to basically jam up the entire left-hand zone, ends up killing one Hellmouth, all the War Spears except for the Chieftain, kills the Chosen, basically leaves me with like a War Spear Chief, the Warmonger Chieftain, like the solo.
Yeah.
A Muck, Animag, the Blightbringer, and a Hellmouth.
Yikes.
To most of his army, I think I only removed like Thorn plus a couple random trenchers. I charge in, Blightbringer charges, kills baby Haley, and I think it was something else that was in that zone. It was a trench buster, maybe.
Okay.
He charges him back with another trench buster and the Ironclad, basically kills the Blightbringer. Haley's sitting in the back of the zone. He's up on scenario. And it was just basically over at that point. I ended the game with Animag charging in at Finn, thinking, okay, I can get the charge off and maybe get real lucky dice because Haley's on, I think, one.
Okay.
And I can just try and spell assassinate her because I didn't have anything left.
Yeah.
But he was just out of range for any of that. My dice flubbed out on me. So what I thought would be, hey, I'll charge in and kill this one guy and be able to get spells took me five attacks.
Oh, wow.
Because turns out when you're like, oh, I'm blessed, magical, and grievous because I didn't need feet before this, so I didn't use it.
Yeah.
Turns out rolling a five is hard. So I miss all these attacks to just kill this random trench buster that had killed my Blightbringer. And I end my turn, he scores and goes up. Like, I think it ended up being 8-3 scenario. So turns out Haley is just as bad of a matchup as I thought it was.
Yeah.
I really didn't get to do a whole lot that game, even with the armor buffs, even with some fairly favorable terrain. Like, trenchers just hit hard enough that it doesn't matter. Turns out when you can, with trench busters, or not trench busters,
Express
Team? Yeah, the express teams can just shut off tough, can shut off excessive healing. None of that matters anymore, and long gunners will just put CRAs in and say, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, she has all the tools to deal with this list. We talked about it a little bit after and kind of thought that his list would do better into this than the typical Haley 3 list because the Master Gunner's there, which gives him a third shot with the Grievous guns.
Yeah.
And having the Ironclad there to give a little extra hitting power and an anchor for his zones helped a lot more than like the double Grenadier build.
Okay.
So I went 1-1 that day. I ended up getting second just because control points and strength of schedule. But I mean, there's only six people there, so
yeah,
it's not anything to be terribly excited about in my mind. But
well, even so, like yeah, you did okay.
It's two more games that gave me my ninth and tenth game with Animag.
Awesome. So
it was fun. I'm not entirely sure. I'm starting to look at it and question if the Blightbringer is necessary with her now.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure that it is. So I'm thinking I might switch her battle group around a little bit just to see if, like, a Carnivian and Golab does better.
Right.
Because, like, especially in that Haley 3 game, it didn't really contribute a whole lot. When I played against Kalissa, it didn't really contribute a whole lot. Like, the threat of the 5-inch AoE was enough to get some things to spread out. You can't really get it upfield to contribute personally. And if they're killing enough to let Vengeance not matter, or they're jamming you on up with enough dudes that Vengeance isn't going to like help unjam you enough, then having the Blightbringer there is actually kind of, I don't want to say it's a liability because it still does well, but it doesn't solve the problem of you just being surrounded by a bunch of dudes and not being able to get your way out.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe other tech pieces there would be better, if maybe I need to go down to a minimum battle group and add in something like Rot Wings to help clear that, or to be like a counter jam. To like let them run at whatever the jamming unit is going to be and let them slug it out while the Ogryn get up the board and get in position.
Right.
There's a couple options I'm thinking about right now with that.
Cool.
Yeah, but all in all, it was a good time. The weekend was enjoyable. I ended up getting, there was a place down there called the Ale House. I ended up getting a burger between two grilled cheese sandwiches for buns.
What?
I didn't know this was a thing that existed. I didn't know that I needed it, but I'm so glad that I got it.
Right on.
It was a moment of like, this doesn't need to exist, but I'm super glad that it does.
That's great. Cool. So I guess we're going to close the episode for today. If anyone from that tournament is listening to this show right now, we're going to encourage you to hop on Discord. The link will be in the show notes. Say hi to Fabint, Wolf, Trash Corey, aka Salt Mist. Come say hi. Come hang out with us. Super great community on the Discord, so everyone is welcome. Beyond that, I hopefully I'll get a game in this week. I didn't get one in last week because everyone was busy, but that's okay.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, you know. So, Wolf, you got anything you want to leave on before we say goodbye?
Well, I got a couple little things. First of all, congratulations to Terry Rias. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. He's the one that won our giveaway for the Warmongers.
Right.
I contacted him, and I kind of want to give him a special shout-out because he's from Wales, and I realized that shipping to Wales would be a massive pain.
Yeah.
So I contacted him and told him, look, instead of me shipping a unit over, I'll happily buy you a unit. Like you can pick it up at your local store or I'll have it shipped to your house.
Yeah.
He got back to me and kind of said, hey, that would be great. I don't need them because I have three units already.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know, he's on the WTC Wales team. He's apparently captained it twice. So he said instead, if I could take the money I would have spent on that and give it to a charity, preferably one that dealt with animals, he would really appreciate that. And I thought that was kind of a really cool thing to do, to say, hey, you know, I don't need this thing. So instead of me just hoarding it, I'd rather this go to something good.
Right on.
So, you know, kind of a special little shout to him. Thanks for everybody for participating. Thank you to him for doing something good with it. If you didn't need it, this still means I have a box of Warmongers sitting here. So, at some point, we might do another giveaway of some kind. I might put a stipulation on it this time that you have to be in the U.S. Nothing against people from other countries. If you're listening to this, I'm so glad you're listening. But shipping anything out like overseas is like prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, it turns out.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Okay.
So that's definitely one thing. And then I had another thing. Give me a second. I'll think of it.
Yeah, well, while you think of it, I'm going to say special thanks to everyone who has given me logos for the show. We had someone from Not Snakes submit one. We've had Maelstrom give us a couple from Moose Machine. And I want to throw it out there that if anybody is willing to contribute cover art for our show, I don't expect this of you, obviously, But if you do, we will gladly make use of it. You know, it's awesome seeing community contributions. So if you want to suggest messages to the page or share it with us on Discord, I will save it and I will absolutely use it.
Yeah, it's super cool when people contribute stuff like that. So thank you if you do. I thought of my other thing though.
Cool.
So other thing is, and I'm going to announce this now, sometime within the next week or two, okay, probably two episodes, I've talked to Mr. Tim Banky. He has agreed to come on and chat with us a little bit. We're going to start a series of deep dives into Legion versus various factions. He has agreed to come on and talk a little bit with us about Legion versus Trolls, things that you should be doing, shouldn't be doing, what to kind of watch out for when you're playing that matchup, you know, all the fun stuff you might want to know if you're playing into somebody who's playing Trolls and happens to be a pretty good player. So keep an ear out for that. We got to get the dates nailed down. I got to talk with him again once we get that all settled out, but it will probably happen sometime in the beginning to mid-July, which means you should be hearing it around the same time.
Cool. That's awesome.
So that'll be neat if you're looking for more tech-related things, or if you just want to come on and hear what our Canadian co-host here has called the most overly happy person he has ever met.
Aggressively polite is
before. That's what it was. My bad.
Yeah.
Mind you, Tim Banky is coming from a Canadian saying that another Canadian is aggressively polite.
He's a super nice dude.
If this isn't stereotypes in the making, I don't know what is.
All right. So that is going to wrap up the 8th episode of Blightbringers. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for coming.